Well, I hate to start a podcast off with bad news, but here's the truth. And it's important that I talk about it because you might be dealing with the difficulty right now of divorce. You're not alone. Unfortunately, divorce rates are increasing all around the world. And people are calling this, well, is this pandemic-induced breakups? Well, the one thing that they're thinking is we might not have seen the peak yet. In other words, the divorce rate might continue to increase. But there is hope. There is recovery. There is life even after divorce. Now, in the title of my job, I'm a marriage and family therapist. In other words, I work really hard to try to help restore marriages. And if you are struggling, if you feel like your marriage is at the end, but it isn't there yet, I implore you, I encourage you, reach out, get help. You'll probably need professional support for this. Don't just go to your friends and complain saying, oh, I'm really miserable because my relationship's no good, where he or she might just say, yeah, I'd get a divorce. I'm getting one, because a lot of people are right now. So I work really hard at trying to help people restore their marriages. And I'm proud of that work. It's difficult work. But sometimes my job is to help people recover after a divorce. And that's what I want to focus on right now. There was actually a really nice little article found in WebMD, How to Recover from a Divorce. And I want to use this article by Lillian Hogan as a platform for this discussion, because I want to sort of weave in what she's saying and, of course, offer you my professional advice. There's no doubt that breakups are challenging, but when you're really married to that one, it's not just a boyfriend, girlfriend, it's not even just living together. Any kind of breakup is difficult. There's no doubt about it. It causes you all kind of pain. But particularly so when it's a marriage. And how you feel after divorce, you might feel rejected or angry or hurt or cut off or out of control. But I want you to keep in mind that no matter what it is that you feel right now today, tomorrow can be different. I want to begin by talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. And he was talking about his difficult times. And he said, boy, I don't want you in the dark. How hard it is, how hard it was when this all came down on us in the Asia province. He said, it was so bad that we didn't think we were going to make it. And that might be you right now. He said, we felt like we had been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. But here's the kicker. And I want you to think about, at least embrace the idea for a moment, entertain it. Because what Paul said is, as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Now, I'm not suggesting that your divorce is the best thing that could have happened. What I am suggesting, and this is what Paul said, is instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get us out of it, we are forced to trust God totally. You know, not a bad idea, since he's the God who raises people from the dead. And he did it. He rescued us from certain doom. And God can step in and rescue you from the doom that you feel right now. But you're not going to be able to just depend on the power of you. It probably will not be enough to help you actually heal. There's no linear journey when it comes to healing from divorce. And your discomfort, your pain, is probably not going to go away anytime soon, but it can go away. Like that wonderful book by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying, she talks about the stages. And there are similar stages, too, you could say, to healing. But again, it's not necessarily predictable, and it's not neat. It's not quick. It's going to require long periods of adjustment at times. And so you have to actually learn how to embrace the journey. As Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. You might have to pick up your cross, the cross that you feel, the loss, the pain, the grief, the devastation. But God says, follow me with all of that pain. Your life, Peter says this, he said, your life is a journey that you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. And I think for you to heal from that pain, you're going to have to travel with a deep consciousness of God. See, it's totally normal and expected that you're going to be feeling these overwhelming feelings, the rejection, the pain, the devastation, the loss. But you have to force yourself to say, wait a second, I'm not here alone. I have to become aware ever more so of God and the healing that He offers. You can't deny yourself the pain, the struggle. One of the things that we know for sure in all the research in psychology is you can't just suppress the pain. You can't just pretend that it's going to go away and it goes away. In fact, just the opposite happens. The more that you try to suppress pain, those negative emotions, they just stay. You push them down there and it's like they're getting ground and made a permanent feature in your life. And so as uncomfortable as it might make you feel to bring up those negative emotions, you're not going to heal from the negative emotions by just denying that they exist. You've actually got to allow and acknowledge the feelings to surface. Notice them, is what I say. You don't have to feel every depth of every emotional experience, but you have to acknowledge that it's there. Wow, I'm hurting right now. Again, as Jesus said in Matthew 16, He said, if you intend to come with Me, you've got to let Me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. And I would say the same is true about your feelings. Don't run from the feelings. Embrace them. And what God says is, follow Me and I'll show you how. Self-help, that's no help, but self-sacrifice, embracing Me. You've got to find places where you feel okay to talk about your pain, honestly. Talk about your divorce. Of course, as a trained professional, I'd say you might consider getting some absolute professional help so that they can give you practical advice, tell you what, well, this is what you could expect, and these are some of the practical things that you can do. But sometimes just unloading that is allowing you to focus on your own grieving and your loss. And Paul says when he's talking about faith, in Galatians chapter 6, he said, live creatively. He said, if somebody falls into sin, forgive them. But what he goes on to say, which is important, is he says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. In other words, your burden is meant to be shared. You are to share other people's burdens. You've got to live in a community. You can't do this. You can't wing this on your own. To develop healthy coping strategies, you're going to need support because sometimes you're going to feel these emotions that are so overwhelming and so powerful, you're not going to know what to do. And sometimes you've got to learn how to regulate the extreme emotions. So again, if you're feeling overwhelming grief, it's not that you should just give yourself permission for a week to go away and grieve and yell and scream and cry. But if you acknowledge the pain, if you share the pain, that in itself helps you to regulate the emotion. But if you suppress it, it's just going to come up and rear its ugly head. Remember, God says, love others as you love yourself. Love yourself by sharing your story. Love yourself by being compassionate, because you might be looking at your own life, the decisions that you've said, that you've made, and say, I've blown it. And maybe there are things that you could learn how to do differently. But just as God commands you to love others as you love yourself, you've got to love yourself and feel some compassion. Okay, I didn't do this perfectly. I made a mess of this. Now people are struggling. But be compassionate with other people. Don't get stuck. Because it's easy to get lost in the depression or the anxiety or the resentment. But you don't want to suffer by yourself. Sometimes you're going to have to look around and find those people who can say, you know what, let me walk with you. Let me lend you a hand. Let me pick you up. Let's do something different. Let's go have fun. Because just like you can get stuck in that old sin life Paul speaks about in Colossians, you can get stuck in the resentment and the pain. And so you've got to look out for that desperate feelings. And sometimes you might feel so desperate, you might say to yourself, you know what, I got to go back. Now, I've seen marriages restored. I've seen people get divorced and then get remarried. And maybe that's actually possible. Maybe that's even good. Or maybe not. Maybe there's a reason why you allowed yourself to feel all of the pain that's associated with divorce, because it was so painful, so destructive, so abusive, that relationship, that for good reason you got out of that. But you don't want your desperation to lead you immediately into another relationship, looking to fill up all that pain. All I need is somebody new. I need to hear that I'm loved and lovable. You are lovable. You are loved. But it's not in your fear, it's not in your desperation that you're to reach out to others or to go back to that destructive relationship, that rebound relationship. Again, there might be those needs that you're looking to be filled, but sometimes you've got to resist that temptation and remain where you are, building relationships based on love, not fear. The fear says, I'm unlovable, but if I can get this person to love me, well, that means I'm lovable, right? But see, God already says you are lovable. You don't have to be desperate in this fear that drives you into another relationship. But you do have to reach out. I'm not saying for somebody to replace that person from whom you're divorced, but reach out to your church community, support groups, other resources, books. You've got to remember that there is always hope. The pain that you feel right now is real. You don't have to deny it. But there's always hope. You've got to remember to always take that next step forward. As long as you're still moving, it'll tell the brain, I'm still alive. It's possible. I don't have to lay down and die. You know, you're not going to be functioning at your best at this point. So sometimes you've got to live with a little more grace for yourself and for others. Maybe your children are suffering. Maybe they're acting out. Maybe you're not at your best. You're looking at your own life and saying, boy, I'm not the best parent right now. That might be, in fact, entirely true. Well, I'm not the best. I'm not so focused at work. Yep, quite possible. But that's okay. Just like other people, no one is immune to these things. If you're feeling overwhelmed and rejected, and that you've blown it, other things aren't going to go so smoothly. That's why you've got to take extra care of yourself right now. And sometimes that's just the basics, particularly if you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed out. Make sure that you're getting enough sleep, that you're eating good food, that you're not abusing drugs or alcohol. Find routines. But sometimes if those patterns, those feelings are so overwhelming, and you realize that every time you reach out to your spouse to try to talk about, well, what do we do about these kids? How are we going to pay these bills? How do we separate all our stuff? Don't allow these discussions to turn into fights. I tell couples this all the time. If you're fighting, just stop. I mean, literally, stop the fight. Because all you're doing is inflicting more pain. You're getting yourself stuck. You're creating a pattern that's going to be more and more difficult to escape. And Paul says in 2 Timothy, he said, refuse to get involved in inane discussions that always end up in fights. And so often the fights, the things that you're so concerned about and worked up about, it's like, this is why we got divorced. I don't need to keep fighting. God's servant, Paul says, must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool, working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. And without that self-care, without that sense of how do I control these deep emotions, all you're going to do is let loose and fight. But if you connect with your real passions, with what is true and good, your faith, if you reconnect with your interests, whether that's painting or playing sports or your faith life in particular, right? Because if you're fighting, you're focusing on one thing, all that is wrong. And I get it. It happens. But you've got to remember that there are more things going on and more potential in your life than just the fight. Now, Paul says in Philippians, my favorite chapter, probably in all the Bible, chapter 4, I think about this, I talk about this all the time in my practice as a therapist, because he's talking about focus. And remember, when you're fighting, you're focusing on what? You're focusing on what is wrong. But Paul said, I'd say you'd do best by filling up your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble and reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. You do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. God can make good out of this very messy, difficult situation. But Paul's point, and the point that I'm wanting to make to you, is you've got to pay attention. You've got to be aware at what you are, where you are placing your focus. Finally, I want to speak just a minute, and this could take an entire podcast, and then some, about kids. How do you deal with it? You know, it's going to be difficult. To this day, I have clients who are well into their 50s, been married, in good relationships, speak about their parents' divorce that happened, four decades ago. And sometimes with real lament and passion and grief, they say, they ruined my life. Now, I'm not suggesting that you are ruining your kid's life by divorce. But you've got to be aware of the impact. Of course, you're feeling this terrible pain, but your children are also trying to struggle to make sense of this separation. And while you give them space, you've also got to reassure them. And how do you do that? I would say, first and foremost, you listen to their concerns. You allow them to express their feelings. And you sit with them, just being present. Just being that loving presence. They've got to work it out. That is, in part, their journey. Yes, as a parent, you've got to share that journey. You've got to play your role. But the most important thing is to allow them to express openly how they're dealing with things. And it might not be too good. What you can do for them is to maintain their routine, giving them stability and familiarity, creating that environment that feels grounding to them. And this most likely will be something that you have to do and cooperate with your former spouse. To be consistent and steady. Because what your children are dealing with is actually something quite unique. Yes, they're experiencing this loss. But now they're having to figure out how to navigate going between mom and dad. Two different houses. Ideally, it would be best, and maybe this is one of the things that separated the two of you, that caused the divorce, is differences about parenting, quite common. But to the best that you can, try to come together and create some consistent disciplines, house rules. Hey, at both our houses, the kids go to bed at 10 or 11. At both our houses, they're only allowed to play so much video games or be on so much social media. You don't want to cut them off from things where they're trying to connect with other people, but you've got to be consistent to the degree that you can. Remember, you are their parent. They are the child. It is your job and your responsibility to allow them to rely on you. You've got to do that self-care so that you can then care for them. They have to know that you're trustworthy and reliable and consistent. You've got to be that one that they can come to and confide in. It's not your job to tell them all about the divorce. It's your job to support them with their experience. You've got to separate your children from the divorce to a degree So you couldn't get along with your spouse. Get it. But you've got to do your processing of all your feelings, the emotions, the struggles. Maybe you do that separate from the kids. You don't argue with your ex-spouse using your children as messengers or spies or as tools or weapons. It's a difficult time, but your faith can support you. When Jesus sent his disciples out to do what might have been the most difficult job of all, to preach the gospel, because they faced a great deal of opposition. And you might be facing a great deal of opposition right now in your life. But what Jesus said is, when you knock on a door, be courteous in your greeting. If they welcome you, be gentle in your conversation. If they don't welcome you, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. And I think this is great advice for you right now. Okay, it didn't work. Your marriage failed. My heart breaks for you because I know how difficult that can be. But for the sake of your kids, for your own sake, you've got to discontinue the cycle of dysfunction. You've got to learn to be gentle again with yourself and with others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said, I beg you, don't squander one bit of this marvelous life that God has given you. Because God hears you. And when you need him, which is right now, in the midst of your pain, God is there to help right now. Now is the time to be helped. Paul says, don't frustrate God's work by showing up late and throwing a question mark over everything. And for sure, right now is a time of questioning. But what can't be questioned is that healing is possible. Because people are watching. Just like Paul said, when you're living out the gospel life, people are watching you. They want to be there for you. But people are watching in the hard times, in the tough times, in the bad times, when you're beaten up and jailed and mobbed and working hard and working late and working without eating. And maybe people are watching while you go through this divorce. How are you going to treat your enemies? Or at least the one that you see as your enemy right now. That person where the marriage fell apart. And now you're left with the pain of divorce. Healing is possible. I will meet you back on the road. And remember, always forward.